Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want to do something a little different tonight. Felt prompted by the Holy Ghost here about this a while ago. And so I want to do something just a little different tonight. Not a whole lot different, just a little different. And so I want you to get your Bibles out. And I want you to go to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. And then hold your finger there and go to 1 John. First John 1:5. 1 John 1:5 says, This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So now go back over to Matthew 22. Verse 1. And I want to read this parable to you, the wedding feast. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king. Okay, the kingdom of heaven is like. Everybody say the kingdom of heaven is like. He's given us a parable and he's trying to tell us what the kingdom of heaven is like. In other words, what takes place, what goes on, what transpires, how we should come to an understanding, how we should have our understanding of God and his setup and his way of moving, his way is his mode of operation, right? The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. He sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding. Now, that's not really that different than what we would do if we were having a big wedding, right? You would send out invitations and invite, but you usually just invite your friends, right? Your associates, those you know, to the fellowship of the wedding. You usually don't just go out and invite everybody. But he's the king, and he's having a really big wedding for his son. And says, he says, call all those who are invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. And again he sent out other servants, saying, tell those who were invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. So in other words, it was a feast, right? Everybody said feast. Okay, so he's trying to tell us what heaven's like. He's trying to show us what heaven's like. And it's like being at a feast. You know, I don't go to, depends on what you call a feast. You know, a backyard barbecue is really good, and that's my style of and my kind of a deal. But, you know, if you're having a feast, there's all kinds of things there, right? And only a few times in my life have I been anywhere to where I would say it was a feast, to where you're walking along and you're looking at things and saying, what do you think that is? And then you're saying, what if it's any good? And I say, I try a little bit of it, you know? Because you don't know. It's things that are just so out of the ordinary. A person took me to the Brazilian steakhouse. And to me, that was a feast. It was over abundance. It was like too much. I was like, holy cow, look at, that's the biggest salad bar I've ever seen in my entire life, you know? It's ridiculous. And they kept bringing meat out, meat out, meat out. It was a feast. It was more, I was saying, no more. Where's the little card? I didn't know that you had to turn the card over for them to quit bringing meat out. And I just had this pile of meat. I was like, this is ridiculous, you know? And so, but a feast, more than I could eat. That's what God has at his table to fellowship and to show you is more than you can imagine. right? More than you've ever seen. That's how good it is at the feast. But it says, but they made light of it and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. That's pretty severe just to not want to go to a wedding. Right? But when the king heard about it, he was furious. And he sent out his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. So we started out at a wedding feast, and now the armies are dispatched, and he destroyed everybody over the wedding. Now, you know, you're reading this story and say, yeah, well, it's a story, it's a parable, it's something Jesus told, right? But think about this. He said at the very beginning, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. So what I want to present to you tonight, and we're going to finish this up, but what I want you to be thinking about is then God's pretty serious about fellowship. He's pretty serious about us fellowshipping with him. He wants your fellowship, and if you're not going to fellowship with him, then you're going to meet the bad end of the sword, the pointed end. Y'all with me? Pretty severe. But when the king, let's say, da, 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 da. And then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, and those who are invited were not worthy. Therefore, go to the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out of the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. So when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to his servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away, cast him in outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. For a long time I had a hard time with that passage right there of just, you know, what this dude didn't dress right. But when you really research and you study Jewish weddings and what went on, when every guest came, there was a garment already prepared for them. You had it so that everybody put on the wedding garment. It was a robe that when he walked in the door, they handed you a robe and said, here, put this on. And this guy just refused to put it on. He basically said, you know, I don't want the wedding garment. Well, the wedding garment, you know, I've gotten caught in this a few weddings that, you know, you're never supposed to clash with the bride. If you're going to do a high wedding, you know, everybody's dressed a certain way and you're not supposed to clash. So if my tie clashed, you know, I had to change my tie or something of this nature. It was a few and rare things if you hear me talking about putting a tie on. But the point is, these garments were all prepared and they were there for them and they were there for them to put on so that all the wedding party, you know, looked the same. And the guy refused it. And he says, many are called but few are chosen. So this guy, if you let me spiritualize this now, God's called us to a feast. He's called us to sit at his table and fellowship with him. And there's only one way you're going to fellowship with him, and that's through the blood of Jesus. And there's no other way you're going to sit at the table, and there's no other way you're going to walk into to the feast and sit down at the table of God and fellowship without the sacrifice that his son made for each and every one of us. So the wedding garment that you put on that allows you to go to the feast that's taking place in heaven every day is the blood of Jesus, his garment. That's what's on you. And any other way you're trying to get God to do something through manipulation or through whatever, or just saying, well, God's God and he's going to serve, well, you're going to be this guy who's cast out, right? Because there's no other way. Jesus says, man, all that come to the Father come through me. There's no other way. There's no other garment. There's no other way. But the thing I want you to focus on tonight is that because of the way he's made and because there is a feast, I'm telling you, God wants to sit down and talk with you and share more with you than you're receiving from him now. All we're doing is eating the, you know, if we're going to the table, it's just the meat and the potatoes. Because if you're at a feast and you're at a big banquet, you have a choice. You either try something else, and you might not like it. Or you don't let yourself open up to try anything, and all you do is eat what you're comfortable with. So you go to the wedding feast, you go to sit down and fellowship with God, but you're only going to want to fellowship with God around a certain part of the table. And he wants us to feast with him at all, because there's things there at the table that are really, really, really good for you. All right? I used to never eat asparagus. I didn't think I liked asparagus. I don't know where I got this. I don't know that asparagus was ever served at my house growing up. Maybe it was. But I just didn't know it. And now, because I tried asparagus once, it's my favorite vegetable is asparagus. I don't know why. I like it. See, Lex sitting here shaking his head. He don't like asparagus. But what I'm saying is I would have never known it if I had never tried it. And what God has at his table is all kinds of great things. But if we only stick with the meat and potatoes, you never find out anything else. Right? Okay. Then the last verse there, verse 14, says, many are called, but few are chosen. Can you just, I want you just to imagine this and think about this for a minute. Every day the banquet and the feast is there. And there's many, many called, because he went out and got everybody to the highways and the byways, bring them into the feast. The doors open. You're not going to find a place that it talks about heaven that's not going to say the door's open. I mean, it would say that the door's closed. The door is always open. The feast is always prepared. It's always sitting there. It's always available, right? But the thing is are we going to go eat it? Because everybody's called, right? Many are called, but few choose it. It's amazing to me how much people suffer in life, but they'll never go talk to God. It's amazing to me how much people suffer in life and realize that God could provide for them, but they don't want to sit down and try the dishes. Are y'all with me? Okay. So what I want you to do tonight, and this is what's a little different. Y'all are going to help me out here. You're going to help me get more preach. I want you to break up in groups, like we've been doing. And I want you just to, you know, read over and discuss these 14 verses. Not the whole chapter, just these 14 verses about the wedding feast. And I want you to come up with something. I don't care how many you come up with, how many reasons. But I want you to come up with one set of reasons why people don't go and feast at God's table. Whatever you, in your discussion, come up with, you know, whatever reasons that you would think, either you yourself or what you think other people don't, why people wouldn't come to the feast. That's the first thing, okay? The second thing I want you to do is I want you just to discuss amongst you, all right, what you have tasted at the table of God. You say, well, what do you mean? I don't know. Figure it out. Talk about it. What have you tasted? What have you experienced with God? How has he touched you? How has he blessed you? What have you seen? What have you done? Discuss that a little bit of what, you know, what things you have tasted, because there may be somebody in your group that you're talking to that never has tasted asparagus. Okay? And then we're going to get back, and I want to ask you the questions, and then y'all are going to tell me the things that you came up with, and then I'm going to add it to my sermon probably on Sunday. All right? So just go ahead, get in your groups. Just break up. Find you somebody to get with. Turn the chairs around.